Es war aber dann nicht genau blockiert. From henceforth, we will be here for about a week. We would like our food to be served in our room. We wouldn't want to have anything, any talk about Baba. Don't let any other people know that we are from Baba. Please allow us some complete rest and all. So he looked at us and said, it's all right for us to do that. So we said, it's good now. We will be served inside our room.
So you must just bear with me.
That's how the whole day passed by, you see. Next day, we had made up our mind to go to a very distant point where nobody would be there. So we went early in the morning to walk after breakfast. And we go by, you see. Nicely we escaped the people and all that. And we were all inside the forest and we spread out there under a tree. And nothing, doing nothing. No more talk with each other. All of us. Each one wanted to be himself, on his own. We were relaxing. All of a sudden, after 10 minutes, a car comes, two cars, full of families. And they come, you see, to the point. And they spread out the carpets and all gaiety is there. You know. They have come for a picnic. They have brought a lot of food and all that. The families are there. So we just lie down and watch them. Absolutely nothing. And no sooner they have settled there, you know, the man starts talking. You know this place is famous for Meher Baba, you know, he would come so often. Oh. And you won't believe, you see, we were all the time, our thoughts were concentrated to when they would leave. All the time throughout their stay there, they talk nothing but about Baba. Meher Baba and Meher Baba and Meher Baba's work this and Meher Baba did this and Meher Baba went. We just kept on, you see, and kept on silently bearing with patience, you see, the words, you see, that came. On our way back, you see, we returned and we met the visitors and they again wished us and talked about Baba and all. In 3 days we returned. It all happened always on, or each day the same thing happened. Wherever we went, no, we had no other place where we could be on our own or by ourselves. It was always he was the one who was haunting us. We returned. All of us said, what's the sense? You see, let's go back. I'm feeling well. How are you? Would you like to stay here? Because all of us love for Baba is great. And his point was something different, you see. He wouldn't want to go for a holiday or like that. Because Baba was sent. So all of us says, no, it's all right for me. Would you like to come back soon? We'll go back. Baba wouldn't want to go. I said, what's the sense of not continuing here? I said, all right, let's go back. So in 3 days' time, we returned to the place. And Baba says, what's the matter? Why do you all return so soon? All of us said he wanted to return, so he returned. How did you all enjoy? I said, well, there's no question of enjoying because I was after all of us. And well, did you relax or anything? I said, no relaxation. Why? He says, then I have to tell this to Baba. So Baba had a hearty laugh. And I am so vast, so infinite, that there is no place without me if anybody could recognize that. But in ignorance, nobody knows me, nobody recognizes it. But here, even in your ignorance, you feel it this way. So what about the ones who realize me and find me and experience me as one infinite reality? There is no place without me. He himself gets lost in me. That was another occasion.
Però a me tot per a mi era un dia de Miguel, un dia de especial, el pare. Va haver dos pobres, però només.
I don't really tell us.
Una de les que s'ha... En Darshan Gregory, those times when Baba would open the doors for all who want to avail of the opportunity to come and have his darshan, to see him. And in spite of there being so many at the time, and they were each having darshan, and there's, you know, the darshan time is darshan time. And Baba missed one particular boy, and he said, hasn't he come? And nobody had even thought of his being there or not. They were too busy, too occupied. And they made inquiries, no, he hadn't come. Oh, said Baba. That's all. As if he hadn't known, and he wished to be informed. Another occasion, not long after, again Baba asked that boy had come. after the darshan was in full swing. And again, the thing with it found out, the maiden parades near there, you asked, you find out, no, Baba, he hasn't come. Baba didn't make a big thing out of it, just in passing. Just third time there was a darshan occasion, and I think by that time the boy must have had word or something. Anyway, he was there. And Baba didn't ask that time. But when each one was bowing down, each one came to Baba, and this boy came, and Baba smiled at him and said, "And how long do you think you were going to evade me? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, one life, two lives, where can you go? You couldn't evade me." And the voice, you know, we could feel that he was so... And as Eric said, when Baba said, he's so vast, and yet he has a special eye and a thought on each one connected with him. His connection, as Baba was said, that was those connected with him, he has each one. And to those he says, how long do you think you're going to evade me?
So then the final opportunity came for me, and that was after the new life. Till new life, this body continued. Continued to be in his service. And I was a very strong person, very strong, according to physical standards. So the strength, of course, gradually diminished. When I joined, I was a very strong person, strength diminished. And to give you an example of it, that it was so fatigued that one day while standing I fell down, fainted. Just fainted there. Body was fatigued. It passed over. Another time, you see, I was so fatigued. I heard such a loud noise within myself, I got blind, you see, for some minutes. Just, what is the reason? I wanted to ask some doctor, even Gavit doesn't know. Do you get that blindness, partial blindness, with a terrible ringing of the bell inside? Is there any physical ailment like that?
No, I wouldn't think about it.
Yeah. So I got completely blind, totally blind, you see. So much so that the doctors nearby, you see, Dr. Gavir and Dr. Neelu were there. They were attending on Baba, and I was there showing the torch, and completely, I was so fatigued, you see, I don't know what. And they shouted at me, "Why don't you point the torch in proper direction?" You see. Just like that, I faded away. And my fading away was just that, you see, at the time I heard such terrible noise inside, beautiful, melodious, but very loud, and total blindness came upon me. So, such was the plight thereof with the physical body. Then, by somehow or other, he started this new phase called the new life, you see. It was something novel, you see, something to our hearts, you see. Just go out, you see. So we went and we followed and followed. And there was nothing to return. But then he returned. And then he went into this Manonash phase. And then he said that his work of Manonash is complete 100%. And then he immediately prepared to go to West in 1952. It was here. And he said to me, that, "Well, Eraj, now we are going to the West, and I would like you to come with me." I said, "Baba, it's impossible for this body now. It will be a drag on you. It's impossible. I can't. I don't want to go." "Well, no, you must come. I want you to come." I said, "No, impossible." "No, you must come." I said, "Baba, I won't be able to attend to you. Impossible with this body. All these years, these few weeks and these last days were just with the hope that your work will be finished and it will be all right. But now to again start a sort of another new life, in new life, it is impossible now." He says, "Well, you don't obey me. You can't carry out my command. So what's the sense of your living with me? Go away." So I said, "It would be preferable to go away than to be a drag on you." So within my heart of hearts, and the mind testified to, that I will be doing a good thing with my love for him, if I will remain myself aloof and away from him, so that I won't be a drag and a burden on him. Because I knew within that it was no use continuing like that. So driving the car, you know what would happen? all of a sudden, you see, it would appear as if we are going into a tunnel. And I was driving at a speed. What would happen, you see? And it did happen eventually. Hours together, you see, driving like that. And what would happen? No sleep in the night, daytime, just drive. Afterwards, go out, you see, in search of musk on foot. And then in the night, sit by Baba's side to keep a watch. What's this? How can the body continue like that? And driving means what? With Baba, the Lord by my side, with all the other people there. And what do I see? Instead of a road, I see a tunnel. In the darkness, we are driving in the full light. I see a tunnel like that. Means the visions get distorted, the reflexes get exhausted, so to say. They can't act properly. So such was the degree of exhaustion of human bodies. So I said, it's impossible now. I can't. It will be good for me to leave you. It's for with my love I want to leave you. I can't. So he says, no, you must come. You have disobeyed me, so you better go away. I said, oh, I would prefer to go away. That's good, Baba says, go. For the first time he had said that. Never in my life he had said that. So it was there in the Smaranash cabin. Well, he said, this was late afternoon. He said this and he left the place to go to his resting room. I went there to my room. I said, well, I have to go away. And he says, leave next morning. Well, leaving this place, he said, leave next morning, not now. I said, all right. So when I went there to my cabin, naturally I had to prepare myself to leave. So I started finding out, sorting out things, you see. I have to just see which is my sleeping bag and what to do with it. Where is my blanket and sheet and pillow and all that. I have to take it with me. So as I started sorting out things, well, this was given by Baba. This was given by Baba when Masaji died, you see. Means Pendu's father died, it belonged to him. Everything I started to find out in my room, which I thought that I would be packing, nothing belonged to me. Nothing belonged to me. And all of a sudden, attention was driven to my clothes, you see. This also doesn't belong to me. How can I take it now? Mm. So it was embarrassing. Should I go out naked now? How can it be possible? Immediately the thought struck, am I my own? How can I say that I must leave? Am I on my own? I am not my own too. Well, such was the thought. The message came from there saying, don't worry, sleep well. In the morning I'll see to it. Well, I went to sleep and I'm a good sleeper. Whatever may happen, even if the world were to be destroyed, I would be sleeping. That's my confidence. So when I go to sleep, I am a good sleeper. I don't care for anything. So, good eater and a good sleeper. So, I slept. In the morning, little did I know what was in store for me. It was worse than my going to the West. He had already asked somebody to type out a circular. No, it's probably money which she doesn't remember also. No, do you remember that? He asked you. You were the one who typed out. It's a long circular. It's still in print. So, early in the morning, somebody brings this to me. Well, I am now undetermined. I don't know what to do now with myself. Should I leave this? What do I do? Where do I go now? Who goes? I didn't even know that, you see. So the circular comes. And then in the circular, he is telling the world that he is sending out Eris and Tendu on a special mission and all that. See how compassionate he is. He takes upon himself, you see, that he is the one who is sending us out and all that. Not that because Eris didn't want to go to the West or anything of the sort. Nobody knows that. I'm telling you all because you brought up the subject today. And I told one other group or two groups before. So the circular is there that Eraj and Pendu have to go, and Pendu should help Eraj, and Eraj will give my message and something this, that, and contact the saints and masks and all that sort. It was more fatigue in India. In India. I have to travel in all over India, mind you. With Baba, it would be just sitting in the car and plane and all that, you see. But here, and myself being there, means giving out a talk and lecture is unthinkable. I have never talked. I don't know how to talk even now. What will I say? What will I tell the people? What will I tell the country about it? And those were the times, you see, when there was Andhra was unthinkable. There was nobody there. Hamirpur and the districts in the north, they had not heard of Baba. Baba had not started giving darshan at the time. Early years I'm talking about. In 1950, fiery free life started in 1952, and Baba said fire of his love in the hearts of people in 52, soon after his return, you see, from the West, after his accident, when the Omnipotent, you see, was lying helpless, you see, and he tells the world that I am the Omnipotent. When he was omnipotent, really young and healthy, he kept himself aloof from the world. Well, when he was helpless, ridiculously helpless, he proclaimed that I am the one, I am the Lord of the universe, I am omnipotent. Yes. When he was helpless to the world, so how can he be like that? How can he say? But he said, because he alone could say such a thing, nobody else could dare say such a thing. So that's how it was. So we went out, he was in the West, the day he left, we went here in India. And I told Baba before leaving, he came in the morning, have you read the circular, he said? I said, yes. I order you to do it. I said, yes, because I had the experience, because I don't know what to do. If I don't do, I don't know what next I should do, because I'm not my own. He said, all right. But Baba, you know, my life with you. I'm not a talker, a speaker, a lecturer, and so on. He said, what have you to do? You have to just give my message. But I said, what message? Just give whatever it comes to you. I said, but what to say? Say that Nyan Baba loves you. But to whom? Go anywhere and say, everywhere. But I don't know how to talk. I said, Baba says, don't worry about that. Occasions will come for you to speak out to the masses. When you stand up to speak out, just remember and say, Baba, say things out of me. You know, when you say whatever comes to you, you are not going to say anything. I'll be the one who will say things. Go. You know, helpless as we were. We were ordinary slaves over here, you see. We went out. And the day we set out, you see, you ask Pandus, day and night became one with us. Never knew that people were so eager to hear him. And hear whom? Him, not us. We knew how helpless we were. You know how Pandu's speech is? You know, Maestro, how I talk. I have started talking after that day, not before that. You see? Still I falter. I don't know what to say. I can't give a lecture or anything of the sort. You know, every time when I sit here, I remember him and say things out. It's not that I say anything. So that's how we went out from place to place. It was so fatiguing, so tiring. Even in the night, they themselves would say, now you should take rest and sleep. And there they would sleep by our side. Tell us something more about Baba. The hosts would come, you see. They would sleep by our side. No privacy. We couldn't even go for a toilet. And we would be fed like anything. And naturally, when we are fed, we must have some place to take the things out, you see, that we take in. But we were not given the opportunity. Wind would accumulate there. We wouldn't know what to do. You would start passing the wind there, you see. We were not left to ourselves. We were just drowned like that. We didn't know what to do. We were helpless people, and we remained natural. We remained natural. That was the only best way that one can live in the world. We have experienced that way. And that was very fine, very uplifting to be natural. So that's how we passed out. No sooner he returned, then we heard while we were speaking in one district, you see, thousands of people were there and we were talking something about Baba. I still don't know what we have talked, but we must have talked for days and months together. What, if you ask me, I don't know. So in the midst of our talk, somebody gives us a telegram that he is involved in a serious accident. And we are talking about the Lord, you see, who is omnipotent, who is the creator, the sustainer, the dissolver, and here he has not the accident. So I kept it there, finished the talk, I told Pandu, what is to be done? Let us return. We didn't know what to do. Should we continue to tell the people of the world? Because here he is involved in a very serious accident. Whether he's going to survive or not, we didn't even know that. So, well, we told these people, you see, that it's now time that we should return to our headquarters at Mehrabad. And, well, if Baba brings us back, we'll come back. So we returned. No sooner we came. In the meantime, Pandu got seriously ill. journey, you see, I had to take him to the hospital. Not knowing what was happening to him, he developed pains, appendicitis. And when we took him to the hospital, he was all right. With great difficulty, I got him admitted at 2:30 in the night, you see. And he was all right. And the train, he was just dying. Well, next day, the doctors examined. I kept him one more day and then took him out. And then he came to Mehrabad. And then took there with another cable. Continue with the work that I've given you. I'm coming back. So we went out and we continued again. And he did come. And he was in his bandages and all that. And we met him. He says, prepare now. I have to go out to the places where you have been so that I can give my darshan to them. Mm-hmm. Oh my. Again another preparation for them. Letters and correspondence going back and forth and back and forth. You see. And within no time he had to go out. And the whole thing is there in a booklet form, succinctly given. Some of them have read as to what happened there. Terrible. Terrible, terrific, most delightful, most fascinating, most touching, whatever you call it is, where he set fire to the hearts of the people. Mm-hmm. And they were just there to receive him all the time, not knowing what they were doing. You see. So it continued. Till today it is continuing. From that day when I thought that I would just, I had collapsed, it's continuing like that. Mani reminds me to tell you of an incident. People, when he went out, you see, they were celebrating his birthday. It was, I think, his 60th birthday at Tadapalliguram. 60th birthday. It so happened that it was his birthday, 25th of February. Yes, we were there. So we are approaching the date now. It was a place in Andhra state. For the first time, Baba is going there. He hadn't been before. They had not heard of his name before. So we went, we had gone there and told them about it. So, his birthday is celebrated with great love and devotion. We were deeply touched and all that. People had gathered there to have a glimpse of him and to have his contact, physical contact, a touch. There's no estimate of the crowd that had gathered. The story itself will let you know. It's impossible to know, you see. The whole place was just full of heads, you see, and people there, not knowing what to do. They were all eager. It's not that the political leader is there, or it's not the that the monarch is there, you see, on the rostrum over there, or on a raised platform there, where he's just, or a pope is there, you see, to raise his hand. And people are not satisfied that way. Each individual heart yearns to come in contact, physical contact of this beloved who sits there. Why is it we don't know still, you see? But they are never satisfied with just having a look at him. All wanting to come to him. Why they want to just drown themselves and be there like that, we don't know. But each one wants a physical contact. Well, just a pat, just a touch is enough for them. And each one is eagerly waiting with a garland or some fruits or something there. And usually in that state, the whole state is full of bananas there. So there, you, each one, almost all, bring a bunch of bananas. And they're waiting there with the babies and the children there. And the sun, there's no protection, there's no awning or anything of the sort. And the grounds are full with people and Baba is seated there. Public address system also fails, you see, to what you call, give out the messages to that vast multitude. None knows what is happening. Around, far away, from just a small ring there of some tens of thousands of people, the rest don't hear us. So, well, it went on. It was his birthday. He should be given complete rest. He should be protected very well. He was in the midst of a great danger, being surrounded by public, not knowing how the public will react. Not what the reaction was. It was not time for him to leave. There was no end to the whole thing. So the resultant effect of it was such that they did not know what to do. So they wanted their offerings to reach him. So what they started doing was, all of a sudden requested him, now it's very dangerous, it's a critical moment that has come now. So we just got him inside, got the car by his side, you see, and put him inside the car. So the first ring of people who were eagerly waiting, expecting to have a contact, they followed. That was gone, it's finished. So what they couldn't do anything. What they did was they just threw, showered their offering on the car. The ring behind them saw this. What's the matter? He says, he's leaving. So they started showering their food. And it went on. So the mass of people showering their coconuts and bananas and flowers, you see. So it all fell on the ground. It's like that. That's how the day passed by, you see.
And that time, when Baba just got it for a few minutes, you persuaded Baba just to come in because he had been giving up himself so constantly for hours, so just for a drink of water, just to... The crowd, the whole man, the mass of people thought, now what about us who haven't had the chance? So they were surging forward, and automatically the pressure was going so much on those who were in the front. And there was beginning to be, you know, great pressure. And that was putting some people in the front to a great danger. The point of danger. So Baba from inside sent word out with one of the men and said, tell the mass that he would not leave the place till each one had received of his darshan. Don't panic, don't be frightened, be patient, I'm coming back and I will not leave this place till each and every one of you has received my darshan. And he did, and it was so many hours more that calmed the people. They just, you know, pressure was less.
Yeah, the beauty was that his voice would be heard then. It was a feeble voice, but it had great force. Yeah. Very feeble voice. Nothing, no police bandobas. You know, bandobas means arrangement. Something.
That is
So there was another place that we visited at that time in the fiery free life. Masses of people there around. And that was a place where it was a place of great orthodoxy there. Hindu orthodoxy. Center of Hindu orthodoxy. Where they always continued to give so much weight to ceremonies and rites and rituals, certain set codes, you see, of worship were there. So people were there, we were there, and Baba was giving darshan to these people. And the crowd was pressing from all sides. And to give you the humorous side of it was that there was our old man, Sudashu Patel, he was a wrestler. In order to protect Baba's body, he had permitted 75 of his close ones to be by his side. In the sense that they wanted to come, they also wanted to participate, you see. And at the same time, they would be the ones, you see, who would keep order like that, just a queue or something like that. So there were 75 at one time at the place where we were there. And the crowd was permitted to come one by one and a queue, and sometimes they would rush in twos and threes and fours and five like that, and we'd stop them and come. Everything, the crowd was pressing. So this fellow lost his head, you know, this wrestler. One of Baba's men. And he girded up his loins in front of them. Then he started shouting. He says, if anybody wants to fight me, he says, come on, come outside in the ring. He starts pushing there like a coward there behind me. You see, in presence of the Lord, such things have happened, you know. The crowd pressing, you see, like that. So well, they were pacified by Baba standing up and says, wait, have your turn. And all. So now, Baba... This was after this happened, this incident that she reminds me. First, of course, what happened, whenever Baba went there would be this, procedure would be this. Baba would be brought to the place where the crowd would be there. A place is fixed, a day is fixed, the time is fixed. So he's brought there. No sooner he comes there, he gets out of the car or anything, or he's walking the distance or anything. And he goes there and takes his seat there. And then he stands up and says, sit down. So they all sit down. And he takes his seat. While he is seated there, he says, I want you all to keep seated while I take your darshan, while I bow down to you, while I bow down to myself in you, so that will save your bother of coming to me to bow down to you. So then what he would do is he would just come up, get out, you see, of the dais there, go down to the grounds where they are all seated or standing like that, and he would bow down to all of them unilaterally. While doing that, from the public address system, it will be that I bow down to myself in you.
Yeah.
So then happiness, then he'll come back to the desk and sit down. Then there will be public address given to him by the bar and by the municipal corporation and by the government and this and that and from the postal department, this department, all sorts of things would go on. It would take long hours and all the time the crowd would be so eager, you see, to go and contact him. So then there would be a message also from Baba at the end. One small message, every time it would be a small message. So at that place, as Mani reminds me, the message was this. In the heart of Orthodoxy of India, the message is this. I am the Ancient One. I have come in your midst as man amongst men to do away with rites, rituals and ceremonies. When he dictated that, you see, and I gave out on the public address system, I myself shuddered. So he just leaned over by my side, pulled my coat and said, don't be frightened.
It was to a mass of Hindu Orthodox people to stand up and Baba giving darshan there for the first time to get up and publicly declare this is what I've come to do. And for them to accept it and not react, I mean, that's a miracle of anything.
As soon as I gave out the words, I shut up myself. So Baba leans there from the chair. Don't be frightened. Nobody, there's no reaction. Pin drop silence. Yeah. And then this thing happened. You see, each one eager to come and contact him. So then he girded up his loins and says, why this? After an hour or so of the party, he comes there and says, why do you push there behind there, like push the women and children like that? A coward, come here if you want to fight me.
But Baba, without being told, sending that message, you know, everyone will have your turn. I will, none will be neglected or forgotten. I will come back in a few minutes and be here. And he was back again for so many hours.
Every time it would be like that.
Banana?
Yeah. Truckload.
Are there films of that, Darshan?
No, those were the days, you see. Nobody thought of. There were no movie cameras. Nothing was there. No tapes.
No David.
He wouldn't even care for such things. Once Baidul, poor Baidul, you know, if people were to know who Baidul is, he was a rustic from Iran. But he was the great hunter of the musks, you see, who helped in the musk context and all that. So once he got a thought that, well, after years of all this, we haven't had a picture of musks or anything. So he, with great difficulty, got a toy camera with him, you see, in one of our journeys, musk tours. Baba looked at him. What is this hanging here? We're from the roof hood. He had just kept it there. This is a camera, Baba. Why do you want it? To take pictures of musk. Who is going to buy the film for you? He says, Nariman or Merji has given money. Don't take it up. Just don't use it. That's how it will be. He wouldn't want us to keep any record or film. In the wayfarers that you find, the pictures, you all should realize what great difficulty Dr. Duncan had to collect all that. He had to send men to those distant places to take the picture. It was done later on.
And the information was on slips of paper on the back of the envelope. Unfortunately, Baidul had kept them. And that book could have been written only when it was written. Invaluable. It never could have been. Other books about Baba, yes. Now is the time that it can be written. But the wayfarers could never have been written now. It would have been most incomplete. At the right time, he did it. But and he said he put a long reason to it, because he suggested that someone should do it, and Baba praised him and said, what a wonderful idea. Now you do it.
So that's the answer to your query.
Was that the same wrestler who had to eat 45 chapatis a day for 6 months? Baba had to eat 45 chapatis a day for 6 months?
No, that was a different one. That was someplace here. He was the foremost disciple of Baba, Patil. His picture is here in this room, Balnath's room. Baba is embracing him. Still here. He was from the fisher folks. Right in the beginning, the few people who were living there in that little little colony there near the riverside in Pune, from Kasbapet, he was there. His name was Sadashiv Shelke, but he was dearly known as Patil. Patil means chief. Shattered in the sense that mind is still working during. How I wish that it had been shattered, you see, the smothering. But the thing is that shattered in that ego. Ego was shattered. The mind that played havoc with me no longer then started playing havoc. Even after that. Mm-hmm. It's a gradual thing that took place. If you were to ask me on what day it happened, it was not a day. It was not a moment. It was a gradual. But fortunately, it was before he dropped the body. Much before.
It's a hard thing to appreciate that you were not like this all the time, kind of. You know, it's been your lifetime of many, many years coming to that point.
So, you know, we can't take these things easily and just, it's not a play. It's not a game like that. In spite of his telling us that all this is nothing but a great game, for the individual mind, my God, it's a war. It's not a game. You, if you call a war a game, it's all right.
It's not a dream, it's a nightmare.
Yes.
When you first came in 1938, where was the mad ashram?
Down below. You know, the place was just behind the kitchen where the pilgrims are food is cooked now. Just there, that locality there.
Can you tell us some stories about the mad ashram?
Want to hear some stories?
Yeah.
The funny side of it?
Anything.
Well, the serious side of it is how poor Baba, every day, you see, as the perfect slave, would attend to his chores. In the morning, he would come down the hill to attend to them, you see, to look after them, to bathe them. First of all, he'd come there to the mad ashram there. Baidul was in charge of it. And under Baidul, there were others also who were helping him. And you should know that mad ashram is not a lunatic asylum. Mad ashram, ashram means a place of shelter, where you are a refuge. So mad, where mad men were given refuge, were comforted, you see. It was not a place, you see, where they were separated or segregated in different cells or put behind the bars or that the doctor is there to attend and says, tells the attendant that let him not come out like that. Or they had free movement. Everything was free for them, you see. Mm. So, naturally, Baidul needed assistance. Suppose if a madman took fancy, you see, to go out of the fence there and go and start walking right beyond the hill, there would be somebody to watch him go there and get him back very lovingly. Follow what I mean? So he had quite a number of assistants around him. So Baidul was the one who was in charge of it. So, first thing that Baba would come to the ashram there, and find out from Baidul who was in charge of the ashram. Peter was there also, but Baidul was in charge. Yeah. So, Baba inquired, Mr. Stuber, how about any episodes? How is everything? He said, everything is all right. Or he might say that, well, this madman had a great fight with the other madman and something like that. Or that he threw away his plate or he threw away his bedding roll or something like that. Something would be there. So Baba would just nod and register these things and all that. And then he would go to the kitchen, you see. By the time that Baba arrived there, Baidul had to finish the cooking for these people. So he'd go and find out what's being cooked, what's the menu for the day and all that. He'd just see there. And you'd feel the rice, whether it was all right. You'd see the chapatis or the bread that was cooked well and all that. He would inspect that. And then that's over. then what he would do is, he would just prepare himself, roll his sleeves, you see, and all that, you know, his pajama and all that. And that was the time when he was handed over the buckets, shit buckets. He would go there to clean the latrines. So then he would put a broom in his hand, you know, that special type of broom and bucket. And he will all go, we'll walk with him. So he would just open from behind the latrines, you see. He would just draw out each pan there and collect all the night soil there and the buckets there. And with the pails of water that were there, he would carry that. He would wash each one properly and clean the whole thing, you see, and put disinfectant in all this and all that. And then put all that there, you see. And then he'll go inside the toilet room, you see, and wash the whole toilet rooms there, and keep the whole thing clean, make it clean and all that. And then those buckets, you see, he'd carry it. We would help, he would permit us to share in the work. So we'd also give a hand to lift, you know, those heavy buckets. And there was a big place, you see, where we had to collect all that soil as manure that we used in the field later on. And you dump that, and on that earth would be put again. Two, three trips like that had to be taken. And if that is over, then he would clean his hands, you see, because he has to touch his own children. So he himself would keep very tidy and all that, clean his hands with soap. You know, that special soap, as Lifebuoy soap was the famous soap for that. Baba liked that brand, you know. Mm-hmm. You know the red soap, Lifebuoy we used to call it. Do you all get that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You all get that in the States also? Lifebuoy?
Lifebuoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it used to be red. That's the only red.
Carbolic acid. Yeah.
The original, the other soap.
Yeah, yeah. So he liked it. He used that soap. So he would wash his hands and all that. And he's now ready. The sleeves come down again, you see. And then Bible is again called, and Peter was there also to assist him. So, well, whose turn is there now? So there were six people ready for a hair crop or shave. So the perfect person, after being a scavenger, becomes a barber. So now they're all seated, you see, on a bench, you know, properly. And Baba then goes around and jokes with them, humorous way, he just, you know, with a clipper in his hand, you see, and a bucket, somebody is holding a bucket and a brush. So the Baba is there. Then he goes to the first person seated. Says, well, how are you all here? There, we'll just crop it. He gestures or board or something, and the interpreter is there and makes the whole thing very lively. You know how barbers are lively. So he has to be a lively person. You know? Gossiping and all that, what happened and how was it, how did he sleep at night? And he would say all sorts of things. Madman, what does a madman say? He says things. Sometimes he speaks sensibly, sometimes he does. And then Baba goes on. And then the hair is collected on the clipper, so the person who holds the bucket with the brush, he just brushes aside the hair inside the bucket simultaneously. You see? And all that, the madman. Baba never gave a crop that way. He just would give a clean crop with the machine. Clipper, whole thing clean. No style, you see. The style was to have a clean crop. And it was, I think, once in 20 days or something like that, the turn came.
So you mean like down to the skin or just real short?
How the clipper is. First, you'll use the big one.
No hair.
You know how you first the big
like
number
many.
Of No.
Yes, but I mean
not
very short. I'm telling you, you know these clippers have different numbers.
Yes.
When the hair is big, you see, he uses a big number to clip the whole thing. Then he uses a fine number, you see. And he gives a closer crop, you see. It's like a person who has not shaved for 2 days. What do you call that crop?
No.
So that would be the way the Navy had their hair.
Yeah. Navy cut. Crew cut.
Yeah, before the crew cut was flat.
So that, then of course, Baba had the pleasure and whim to allow anybody to grow a mush. Or allow it to grow, and he would just admire the way it was growing, you see. Or he might clip them off, or he might would want to shave the whole thing because it's not properly kept or anything. So it is left to Baba how he does it. He'll give a shave here, see?